Father, I have your word, and I know it's true.
I am everything it says I am.
I am everything it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. And that just proves that you can do everything. Because that pastor did. We have come a long way from those early days where I was doing everything. And what we need to understand is that God is trying to get us to understand some things here. Today's message is Becoming a World Changer, Part 1. You are a world changer. Your concept of being a world changer determines the sphere of influence that God has given to you. We've talked about what is going on in the world today. We've talked about the spirits that are influencing people. We've talked about the Antichrist spirit. We've talked about the Leviathan spirit. We've even talked about the Jezebel spirit. And all these are coming into play into our lives. And we see these things being manifested in the physical realm, but we have not recognized what these spirits are doing. And so what we do is we get our eyes off the goal and we pay attention to these physical realities that's going on. And we have to understand that exposure of these spirits and exposure of these things that they do to influence us has a profound effect upon our lives. Today is a great example of that. How many was really focused about the weather today? And it's terrible out there. I don't know if I should go to church. I don't know if I want to venture out there. How many had those fleeting thoughts going through their minds? Wow, you guys are more spiritual than I thought. I've learned something today. The fact of the matter is that you have matured further than a lot have, because you first believe that God's going to take care of you, and second of all, you believe that what God is going to say today is going to be relevant to your lives. Some people who take their eye off the ball and have become ingratiated in their problems is what I refer to as problem fixated. And because they become easily overwhelmed at the situation instead of looking at God as the solution, they entertain thoughts that will paralyze them with fear. And then subordinate spirits begin to take over, like spirits of suicide, spirits of murder, spirits of bitterness, resentment. And what that does is it cements us in the callousness of our own heart. And we don't flow in the love of God. This video is pertinent for us to understand that there are many ministries that still have to be fulfilled and done. And the mindset of some of these spirits is they say to us, well, that's the pastor's job. He'll get to it. The fact of the matter is, it's all summed up in this question that I will ask you. Why did you come to Jesus Christ? Did you come to have Him deliver you from your scenarios and situations that you've created and thinking that everything would miraculously go away, that God would solve your problem and you can be happy? Did you come to Jesus thinking that, you know, He's my escape pod? I just have to endure this hardship because that's my lot in life. And when He splits the eastern sky, I'm going to get raptured out of here. Or have you come to a place in understanding that He has a plan and a purpose for you? And that is to change this world. Your world may consist presently of your family. You pouring into your family and taking care of them and taking a responsibility and doing the things that glorifies God. Because it's not pastor's job to figure out your problems. That's between you and God. I can help. I can direct you to what God says. But I can't do it for you. Because I have enough of my own mess that God's working on in my own life. You see, I haven't arrived. And as the spirits would lie to you and say, well, Pastor's this super spiritual person, I have to remind you that when you came to Jesus Christ, immediately you became a supernatural being. That's true. And becoming a supernatural being means that the God who created everything now dwells in you. And He wants to commune with you. He wants to tell you how wonderful and fearfully you're made. He wants to tell you that He is the solution to every problem, but He is not going to solve your problems unless He's invited in. I know. I did that for 30 years and almost lost my family because of it. We talked about at the end of last year about facing your giants. And those giants were change, problems, discouragement, fear, and failure. You cannot be a world changer unless you allow God to change your world. It's really that simple. If you are insistent in doing things your way, then your world will continually spin out of control and be like the toilet bowl. It just spin down and go away. We talked about liberty and we talked about freedom. And hopefully I was able to get you to understand that Christ has set you free from the bondages of sin and the fear of death. He has. He's done that already. But some of us want to embrace that sin. Some of us want to embrace that bondage as though it's a badge of honor. And you can embrace that. But the bottom line is that you are dishonoring your Father who has saved you. We educate ourselves in the ways of this life, but we don't educate ourselves in the ways of the Spirit. Let me say that again. We spend a lot of time getting educated, having the alphabet put behind our name to educate ourselves to live this life, which actually in reality puts us into greater bondage than to exercise the freedom to study God's Word so that we can experience true life. He is the life. He is the truth. And He is the way. Because He has entered into us. He has poured His uncreated eternal life in us to be poured out to other people. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to me at times trying to understand this mindset that I'd rather go alone and do it on my own. I had 30 years of that. And then when Jesus entered into my life, I've had 30 years more of Him taking over my life. And it's not been easy. He's still dealing with me in areas of attitude and action and stuff. But that proves one thing, that I'm His kid. And that my spiritual behavior is inappropriate to represent my Father as King. We have to understand that our greatest responsibility is to turn over our life to Him. Which means we turn the governance of our lives to God. He now rules and reigns our lives, and it is He who determines what we are to do or not to do. Amen? And this is progressive. If you look at Isaiah 9:7, it says, "Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from time on and time forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." You see, as we release our lives to Him, He governs our lives even more. He sets our lives in order out of the chaos and disorder that we've created. And it takes time. And it increases in us. It doesn't decrease. Those of us that have studied the Scriptures have come to understand that the patriarchs, the priests, and the prophets were all ambassadors to one tribe, one national people, Israel, as an example to us. And what they did was they encouraged the people of God, not discouraged them. Not to give up. Where you're at, don't give up. Don't give in to sin. Don't give in to bondage. Don't give in to the easy way. Surrender to God and let Him take over your life. It may not be easy, but in the end, it becomes beautiful. And that's what He wants to make out of your life. Something beautiful. They told us how we should live a holy life, a righteous life. They taught us through their examples of living how to live. They rebuked corrupt and retrograde leadership that would only put people into further bondage. And Jesus spoke about this in quite clear terms in rebuking them. They were known as the king's crooks. K-E-R-U-X. They were representing God to the people. And so that's why we can't throw the Old Testament out. We learn from them. They're our heritage. There are examples to us. We are in Jesus Christ. We are the modern day crux. We are the ambassadors that Jesus has called to us. And we are to change the world. How do we do that, Pastor? We have to pay attention to what the Scriptures are saying. Understand what the Scriptures are saying. You have a call, a holy call from on high that no one else can fulfill. And if you don't believe it, and you believe the lie, then it is my job to encourage you not to believe that anymore. Well, Pastor, I'm just a wife that's taking care of my kids. That is a holy calling. Those kids were given to you because your Father in heaven saw that you were the right person for that child or children to be raised up in the admonition of his fame. That his name and his seal is upon each and every one of us to change this world for good. Ephesians 4:11 says he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith in the acknowledgement or knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full stature of the fullness of Christ. Who's arrived? Has anybody arrived here in the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ? None of us. None of us have. What happens is the longer you walk with God, you begin to have this revelation of just how wicked you are. And when you see how wicked you are, you begin to understand His mercy. And when you understand His mercy, then you understand that it is His grace that enables me to do more, not less. To do more, to become more, to accomplish more for His glory. My job as a pastor, prophet, evangelist, apostle, whatever you want to call me, as a man of God, is to encourage you to keep moving. You got to keep moving. If you stop, the enemy will pick you off. Remember years ago I taught about the tank and the infantry and how people just like to be around the tank or people want to get on the tank, but nobody wants to get in the tank, which is the safest place for us. Only when we get in the tank will we understand the objectives. Only when we're in the tank will we be protected to the fullest. Only when we're in Jesus Christ and surrendered to allow Him to immobilize us to accomplish His plans and His purposes, will we be those world changers. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. The truth is, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Why? Because God wants to see if that's going to be just the point in which you're going to stop. You're going to take your eye off the goal and you're going to look to the left or look to the right and get picked off. How many know what the ultimate will of God is besides myself? I'll give you a nugget. The ultimate will of God is for you to die and go and save somebody else. Peter tells us it's not God's will that any man perish, but come to repentance and receive eternal life. How is God going to do that if we don't take our responsibility seriously? You see, we think that being a world changer means we have to go to the ends of the world. To be a world changer means to get out of bed, get off the couch, and go out the door to your neighbor and build a relationship. To talk to them, find out where they're at in their spiritual journey. It's learning how to live this life of holiness and righteousness in such a way that we glorify God, and yet the things of this world start becoming distant to us. And I'm not saying that fantasy football is bad or playing games is bad or anything like that. We're supposed to have fun. But when it consumes us to the point that it takes over our lives, that keeps us from studying the Word of God, that keeps us from our prayer closet, that keeps us from accomplishing that which God has called us, then those things need to be removed. And if it's a person who does that, that person needs to be removed. Until you are strong enough to combat that influence in your life. How do we begin? Well, first of all, you got to know the cost. Who knows the cost? What is it, Irene? Everything. We just sang it. Everything. It's everything. God is not interested in just a piece of you, and He gives you a piece of Him. He gave you all of Him. And now He wants you to give all yourself to Him. Everything. All that you have and all that you are is His. He paid for you and He paid for me. And it doesn't matter what we're going through. All that matters is we have to be willing to pay the price. According to Revelation 12:10, 12:11, Revelation 11:15. You see, we are now entering into the last phase before Christ returns for us. The pieces are all being set. The question is, are you one of those pieces that's being set for the glory of God? How do we start? Well, we have to get back to basics. Turn to Mark 11:17. And I'm going to give you four things. And next week we'll finish it up. But four things that we can do. Mark 11:17 says, "And then he taught them, saying, Is it not written, My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." But you have turned it into a den of thieves. How can you say that, Pastor? You've opened the door of your life to allow Satan to come in and steal from you without you even knowing it. His job is to rob, to steal, and destroy you. He hates you. And he will put things into your life to destroy you. And how does he destroy you? He doesn't destroy you suddenly. He destroys you slowly. When was the last time you cried out to God in your personal prayer closet? Personal prayer. We've got to jump start and restart those areas of prayer. But I don't know how to pray. Then you need to find one of the deacons and deaconesses, and they will show you how to pray. It's not real difficult. I don't know what to say. Find somebody. When was the last time you didn't catch God on a fly, but you sat there and you just said, God, what do you want me to do? And you sat there and you sat there and you sat there listening. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I got rambunctious kids. I got this going on. I got that going on. Yeah. Yeah, I understand. We lived it. That did not deter us from our responsibility. That's why we say your house has to be in order. Because if your house is out of order, that's the first area that the enemy will attack you. And guys, you're the high priest of your home. You need to spend more time in prayer and less time on the video games to cover your family, because there are people dependent upon you to become the righteous high priest of your home. And when God calls you home, He isn't interested in the score that you got on your video game. He doesn't care about, you know, who you trade it for in your fantasy football. He doesn't care what fan you are of what sport. He could care less about that. He's going to ask you, what did you do with my son? And were you obedient? Because you see, When we come on this side of the cross, we're set free from judgment. Okay? We don't suffer eternal judgment. What we are now building in our lives is the mansions that God will give to us and the great rewards that He wants to display upon us. And every excuse that we use takes away a blessing. It takes away a reward. It takes away our position. It takes away the shining of the glory of God that is in you, wanting to emanate from you. How can I say that? I am struggling in the things that God is speaking to me personally. And I tell you, I'm only a half a step ahead of you, but I am no different than you. I am not some super spiritual Christian. I am a man who is chasing after God, and I don't like how He's dealing with me, and He says, tough. I will have my way. Not my will be done, but His. And what we do is, we allow Satan to give us the paltry things of this world as though they were great and awesome things at the expense of spending time with God. When was the last time you were in the Word? When was the last time you were in the Word and God said to you, you know, I just love you. I love you no matter what. You don't understand, God. I'm this worm. I'm so wicked. Yeah, that's what you were. That's not what I call you. We got to start agreeing with what God says about us and stop agreeing with what Satan says about us. When you want to utter that out of your mouth, just turn around and tell Satan, you're going to the lake of fire. That's your end. I'm not. I want you to look at these scriptures in your time, free time. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 7. Mark 11, 24. Luke 11, 2. 1 Corinthians 14, 13. And really begin to enter into your prayer closet with these scriptures. And let God begin to build you up, because you are a world changer. But you have to change your world. If you're not willing to change your world, then you're going to have more world of hurt than you expect. That's just the way it is. When I was captain of my world, I ruined it. Now He's the captain. I'm just one of the players on His team. And if I practice well enough, I get to play the game. Guess what? I get to play the game. And I don't know about you guys, but those of us that were in sports, when we played heartily. Because we didn't like sitting on the bench. God has no bench sitters. Understand this. Two, corporate prayer. Turn to 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. Corporate prayer. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. This is the Lord speaking. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then and only then will I hear from heaven, and forgive their sins, and heal their land. My eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to their prayers made in this place. We gather on Sundays to start having corporate prayer. I don't know if you remember that when we were in Republican Hall and we had corporate prayer, that some of the things we prayed about was where God wanted us to have the next step. We also interceded for our family members. We interceded for those who didn't know Jesus. We interceded for one another. And even sometimes I would walk in, you were interceding for me. There is a love bond that is developed when the saints begin to pray. Streams was developed from a men's prayer group many, many moons ago, of which none of those men are part of what God is doing today. I don't know where they are, but God has moved us forward. I want to encourage you. One, to encourage you to start developing your prayer closet. Get in there. You know, ask your spouse or when the kids are at school or whatever, start developing it. Start reading. Start getting the Word into you. Start building your spirit man up in your most holy faith. Be a part of what God's doing here on Sundays, because this is eventually going to turn into 7/24. 24/7. 24/7. Prayer is going to constantly go up because, as Jesus said, is this not a house of prayer? The house of streams is going to pray. The house of streams is going to seek His face. The house of streams is going to do the Father's will, no matter the cost. We've been meeting here since December. My question is, where's the rest of the body? Peter was in jail, and the body of Christ was praying for him. And what happened? An angel came, smacked him upside his head, the chains fell off, and it delivered him back to the saints that were praying for him. And it was so incredulous that a little girl went to the door and saw Peter standing there, slammed the door on him and ran back and said, "Peter's at the front door. Well, let him in." That's the God I serve. There's nothing impossible to him who believes what God can do. And that's what corporate prayer does. We ask the impossible and God makes it happen. We do the things that God tells us to do and we watch him do miraculous things, of which we're in our building because He did it, not us. We're just responsible to take care of it. If we are not clean, and today I was crying out to God to take stuff out of me. I want to be clean before Him. I don't want to send my petitions up to Him until I get clean. I need a clean heart, a clean mind, so I can hear clearly what He's saying. We all do. The neat thing about corporate prayer is I get to hear what's on your heart, and you get to hear what's on mine. We don't judge. We feed on that. We stop saying people don't understand. Why don't they understand? Because we don't share our heart with them. We play it real close to the vest. Because after all, that's how God is. He plays it real close to the vest, right? No, He doesn't. He opened up His heart. He poured it out. And what did He get? He got nailed on a cross and He got a spear stuck into it. That each and every one of us put Him there. 3, examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you've already been disqualified. Test yourself. How do we test ourselves? Well, first of all, we need to physically and periodically look at what our life looks like. And we have to, you know what? I've given my leaders the unduly privilege that no other pastor gives their leaders. The right to examine my life and to speak into it. I already have it with them. It's called a mutual accountability. Most pastors are afraid to give that off. I am not afraid. I'm not fearless either. But I am courageous. And sometimes I don't like what I have to hear, but I endure it and take it to the Father. Because I don't want to be Gary. I want to be as Christ-like as I possibly can. And that's why I struggle in my thought life, or and I struggle in my speech and stuff. Because I haven't arrived. Examine your relationships. Examine the character that you have. Are you still perpetuating the sinful attitudes and sinful speech, lying to one another? Because you start lying to yourself, you believe the lie. And you think that everybody else is as naive as you to believe your story. The fact of the matter is, nobody does. Because those who are pure, all things are pure. Examine yourself. Prayer. Let God have the free reign to examine you. Examine the relationships you have. What have you caused, or what has been caused, for your relationships to be sour or standoffish? Irene likes to say, I'm a porcupine. It's real tough to embrace a porcupine. I'm getting better. I am. I have the love. It's just now I need the breaking of these bristles. You know? I know I'm not an easy person. There's a lot of things on my shoulders. And I'm not making excuses for myself. But to give you some idea, I lived in a family that was the family of no. The family of take your hope away. The family that you're not going to be any better. That you're a worm. You're a piece of crap. I wish that you were never born. Whatever cruelty that was spoken, that's what I lived with. And until God started speaking into my life, it became yes. Nothing's impossible for you, son. Nothing. I'll be with you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. And when you get tired, I'm going to carry you. I'm going to bring you to a sure safe. But if you aren't examining yourself periodically, how do you know where you are? Is your ship adrift? Is your sails broken down? Is your oars lost at sea? That's what it means to be disqualified. You're just aimlessly heading in no direction at all. Look at Galatians 6:4. Take that into your prayer closet. Examine yourself. And one thing I want to encourage you on is, none of us have arrived. And remember, all of us put our hands up when we said we're a mess. Let's stop talking the talk until we start walking the walk. Okay? In other words, stop pretending. Just do it. Stop being afraid of making a mistake. You're going to make it. I know, I made them. You can't possibly have made as many as I have, because I've been on this planet longer, so I outrule you. So I've had greater opportunity. But do something. Take it piece by piece. Allow God to speak the plan that He has for your life, and you walk it out, and it becomes the reality. 4. Eliminate everything that promotes spiritual ignorance. Proverbs 4:23-27. You want to get smart like God? Go to His book of wisdom. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. I could do a ton of teaching on that. I want the Holy Spirit to teach you. You see, that's your responsibility. And if you don't implement it, God sure as all heck isn't. He gives it to us. He gives us the freedom, but there's the responsibility. And if you want to keep being free, you take and shoulder your responsibility. Well, Irene and I have lived through 40 years of marriage. We've learned that Christianity is a team sport. And the Bible says that he who has found a good wife has found a good thing. He who has found a good spouse has found a good thing. And in this generation, that's becoming harder and harder. But that should not dissuade you from becoming more Christ-like. It should actually encourage you to let that light shine. People are going to hell in a handbasket because the world is dictating that to them, what is right and what is wrong. We are not made to be doormats. Jesus was not a doormat. But he called a spade a spade. He saw it the way it was. He told the truth. And what needs to be established in our lives is a fear of God. If you do not have a fear of God, you will not take your responsibility seriously. Jesus said, and this is how I developed my fear of God. Don't fear them that are able to kill your body. Fear him who is able to kill your body and your soul and spirit. See, we as parents like to say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. God can take us out anytime. You have been commissioned with an awesome commission. You are not being treated as infants, but you are being treated as children of God. And it's time to grow up to become sons and daughters of God. This is what the world is waiting for. Romans 2 says that the world groans in eager expectation of the revelation of the sons of God. This world is waiting to see the masterpiece that God is putting together. And you're part of it. It doesn't matter how big or how little, but you're part of it. That's where we should grab a hold of and understand that God looks at my life and He wants to do great big things with it. Awesome things. Because eye is not seen and ear is not heard the things that God has prepared for them who are called and love Him. I know all of you love God. But you need to be serious about your divine purpose. There are so many things in the world that has crept into the church. False spirits, false prophets, false apostles. spirits that are whack jobs and keep the people of God running here and there. False fire, entertainment. We are created to entertain Him, not each other. We're here to be raised up and trained in the ways of righteousness and to change this world. We are God's answer. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His people. And He commands us, He doesn't ask us, He commands us to go and bring them in. The key to defeating Satan, and I only know this one way, is to turn to Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I said to you many times through the years, how you think is how you live. Stinking thinking leads to stinking living. Does your house reflect the kingdom of God? Brother, does it reflect? Because how you think about the kingdom of God determines how you will live for the king. If your mind is filled with trash and garbage, guess how you'll live. If your mind is filled with pure things, clean things, good things, guess what that outcome would be. Which do you think reflects our Father's house? I learned a long time ago. My mom used to say, and I came from a very poor family, 6 kids, 1 income. When my mom used to say to us, we're poor, but we don't have to be dirty. We didn't have a whole lot. We washed clothes. And I hear the stories of my in-laws. They had 2 pair of underwear, 2 socks, 2 pairs of socks, two change of clothes. The clothes that they wore today, that was in the other clothes that they wore, was being washed. They didn't have a whole lot, but it was clean. Their house was neat. It was clean. There was no trash in there because they wanted to honor God. God tells us there's no moth up there. There's no rust. There's no dirt in heaven. Everything is clean. Everything is pure. There's no smog that irritate the eyes. What does your house look like? Because that's a reflection of your heart towards your Father who is in heaven. How are you speaking to one another? How are you raising your children? All has consequences in the kingdom. I need you guys. Why? Because Ephesians 4 tells me that we're all part of the body. And we need each other to supply those needs till we come to the unity of faith, to the full measure of Christ. I need you. And whether you agree with me or not, you need me. That's the truth. So what are you going to do? Are you going to start thinking as a world changer and begin to start implementing these things? It doesn't have to start, because that's the freedom you have. But I would encourage you to get on with God's plan to begin to start implementing this. You know, get in reading the Word. I've told you through the years, read 5 minutes. That may be a chapter. Well, I know we have Dylan, who's up to, what, 5-6 chapters a day? He praises God every day. I mean, that reminds me of me every day. And since I've been sick, my purpose is to get back to where He is. He's my encouragement. That I haven't lost it, I just need to recover it. How about you? Let's get over ourselves. Let's get filled up with what God says about us. Let us attain to the high calling that He has called to us. You are divine, kingly, peculiar people. That's the way God has designed it. And I thank you for coming out today. I really do, because that shows your commitment to Him. But I'm going to challenge you from this point forward to not just settle for the least thing, but begin to set your eyes on the bigger project, the bigger goal. God knows your needs. But He tells us in first principle, Matthew 6:33, seek Him first in His righteousness, and all this stuff will be taken care of. If we're about His business, He is definitely about ours. Let's get on board. Let us bring in His harvest before it's too late. Let us be all that He has created us to be, and not apologize or make excuses for being supernatural spiritual beings. Because one day, very shortly, we're going to judge the nations. We're going to judge angels. We're going to judge the fallen. Those who refused Jesus Christ. And we're going to judge those who thought that they were part of God's family, only to realize that they have been disqualified. Let us encourage them to repent. We want everyone to come to their senses and live for God. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your people's attention. And I thank You, Lord, that in these four things, I pray it strikes a chord in our lives, God. That we're not complete, but God, with You and each other, we can complete a task. We can move forward to the goal. God, whatever it is that You've called for us to do, we can do. So, Father, as we continue on this day, I thank You for the sunshine that has come out to melt the rest of this stuff. I even thank You for the leaks in the roof, God. Because we want to see how You want to solve that, God. God, we just give You all praise and all glory. And thank You for being here with us. Bless Your people, God. May it be their reality to see that what they don't have may be just You, God. And it's so easy to get You. I ask You, bless them, God. Bless their comings and goings. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.